about 5 years ago when I first contacted y'all. I had just taken over the archives as a second job. And as I was going through stuff, I knew about Arthur Allen because Arthur had stayed active in the school.
Oh, right, he did.
Mm-hmm. And, but I got to thinking, who's Charles Edmund? You know, what?
But he was the first.
Yeah, what's his story? I mean, I'd never.
We came together.
Oh, you all came together? Okay.
He was a freshman, I was a sophomore.
Oh, okay, right. I'm sorry.
Yeah, so he was, Charles was the first to graduate.
Right, to graduate, right.
But I kept thinking, okay, so who's this Charles Edmund guy, and what's his story, and what's, you know, and I thought, well, I'm going to find out what this is about. So I got your phone number, called you, and we chatted for a while, and, you know, I just. And a few years passed, because I didn't have a way to share that information. Mm-hmm. But I had it typed up, and it was in the archives.
Yes, yes. Thank you.
Then, last spring, I started an online archives. And I thought, okay, now I can share Charles' story. Mm-hmm. And also maybe a little bit more about the, you know, kind of what went on. And that's when I called you again, because I wanted you to approve what I was going to post. And then in the meantime, we, Michael Deegan and Fritz and I had started this online newspaper.
Oh, okay.
Last year. It's the first time the Jesuit has not had a print paper. And Michael and I were just talking one night in the summer, I think it was, yeah. And kind of brainstorming. We wanted, what kind of feature articles might we do next year and that kind of thing, and kind of something that's more involved and has some research. And so I knew, I mean, this was like all coinciding when I had just talked with Charles again, mm-hmm. after the years passed, and said, okay, I'm ready to
right.
do something with this now. And I thought, well, what better venue than to put it in the school newspaper,
okay,
and write a story about it. And at the same time, Clark is our senior editor, and he has
okay.
been fabulous. And Peyton had written several feature articles last year that were wonderful, beautifully written. And so all of that came together, and we decided, let's do a big feature article and tell this story. And
wow.
we've learned more about it because we've gotten additional documents from the Jesuits in New Orleans, because we were trying to, you know, what we're trying to get at the heart of is, how did this happen? I mean, we're talking two guys who somehow end up at this Catholic mm-hmm. high school, and there's not one other integrated school in the whole city.
In the whole city.
How
yeah.
did that happen?
Right, and that's what I wanted to connect the dots with back then. I read Arthur's version. Mm-hmm. He said some business leaders. Mm-hmm. Were they the ones that initiated this, or was it the Jesuit principal or the Archbishop? Or how did it get
started? So you
started?
Don't know that
no.
part either.
I was only
okay.
14
okay.
when I...
Mm-hmm. Well, and that...
But who told... You said you were supposed to keep it secret. Who mm-hmm. told you that?
I remember the...
I missed that
the
part
announcement
of the
only... came at the end in September, and I was thinking that we were selected before then. That's another question. So I don't think we were named in that newspaper account.
No, you were not.
So that's, it came about that I was to just kind of keep it quiet and not, and I think for Arthur's sake, and I don't know how his neighborhood knew unless he told them that he was going. Remember, he said that.
Somebody,
I didn't know about that either. So his neighbors retaliated.
I don't think
somebody,
it was his neighbors. I think he was. I think he was saying that some white families
oh,
came
okay.
to the neighborhood.
Oh, okay.
To that was my understanding. Yeah. Is that it was? That, I mean, they don't know who threw the bomb. For sure.
Oh, somebody threw a bomb? Yeah, I didn't know that.
Well, it was more like a Molotov cocktail,
Molotov
I guess.
At Arthur Allen's house?
And it bounced off his porch and landed on the neighbor's porch.
Oh,
and caught the neighbor's porch on fire.
I didn't know that.
So getting back, when I talked with the nuns when I was in the ninth grade, that spring of 55,
right.
I think one of them told me that just hold on, don't make a lot
of
waves.
How did they initially approach you?
And that's the question I want to know, how I was selected. And I kind of thought that I was kind of mild-mannered, silent. My grades were average to above average. I had a Catholic background, good attendance. And I don't know if the nuns said he's the one and did it unilaterally or whether they talked with others. And there was a selection process, but I was never told.
So when were you first told that you were going to go to Jesuit?
I was in the ninth grade, second semester, in the spring of 55.
Okay.
And we started at Jesuit.
What did you think when you heard this?
Fear. Well, first of all, I was nonchalant. The nuns were telling me that, would you like to go? And I said yes, and I didn't want to defy them. You know, as I said, I was about 14.
Right.
But as the summer grew on, and we were coming to the opening of school, then fear set in. And because I didn't want to let people down, you know, I was to be the first to integrate. What would happen if I go there and fail? Mm-hmm. So during that summer, before I started, just all kind of thoughts were in my mind, and I just wanted to.
And I didn't even know him then. Oh my God.
What did your mom think?
Now you know why I'm so impressed. I mean, this is your courage blows me away every time I think about it.
She said, "Are you sure?" And somehow she knew that Jesuit gave a very good education, and she wanted to me to have that. Because then go on to college, because I was the first one in my family to go to college and get a degree. So she was supportive. She just wanted to make sure that I wasn't afraid and so forth. Because at that time, you know, the backdrop of 1954 and 55 were all the civil rights began to boil over, and I wasn't sure how Jesuit was going to react to me.
Well, that
emotional.
Excuse me. So. Now, you were just saying your mom just was like.
She asked me, are you sure you want to do this? Uh-huh. And I told her yes, and she supported that. And I think
but you don't know how she found out about it, or did you
tell
her?
Oh, okay. No, the nuns talk with her.
The nuns talk with her.
They asked me, and then they talk with her about it.
And this was what school you were?
St. Peter's Catholic Church. It was.
And did it go up through 10th, 11th, 12th grade?
Yeah. It was a like Catholic school, high school that was in St. Louis at that time, located in North Dallas.
Okay.
There were various elementary schools that were scattered around. There were in the black neighborhoods, like St. Anthony.
Right.
And I think that's where Arthur and I met. There was one in Oak Cliff that I attended, Immaculate Ordinary.
Mm-hmm.
And there may have been some others.
That's very.
Everything good, folks?
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wonderful. Thank you.
All right. You know, you do get ready to close at 11 o'clock.
Okay.
Thank you.
Take your time.
So I want to let close friends know that I was going, and of course family.
And what did the rest of your family think?
They were supportive, and I had, like you said, a younger sister and an older brother, and we talked to him about it. I was asking him what can he recollect what happened at that time, his feeling. And so forth. So he said that he knew that I was going, and he was supportive of me doing that.
And
but other than that, there was no other.
Were you the oldest of the kids in your family?
No, my brother.
Okay, the brother you're talking about was older.
Right.
And where was he in school?
St. Peter's.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Wow. So there were five children in your family?
I have two younger sisters, as I said, that are in Plano. Arlington and Mansfield. They are step-sisters, actually, because my mother separated and divorced when I was real little. She was a single mom for a while, and then she remarried. And that's when I had my other sister.
Okay, because you mentioned one of the sisters who died.
It was my oldest sister.
The first three.
Okay.
They were the first three by his father.
Okay.
And the last two were by his stepdad.
Okay. All right. Now, was your mother a single mother at the time this was all happening?
Mm-hmm. Was she afraid?
I'm trying to look for that. She kept saying, "Are you sure that you want to do this?" And kept saying being supportive and everything, but she never mentioned about me. Mm-hmm. I'm sure she was, but
she didn't share that.
Because I was a little bit later on when just before school started, I became a little bit afraid of what may happen. Mm-hmm. Because of the things that were happening nationally.
Right.
And the Board of Education, Supreme Court in 1954, was that what caused this?
Yes.
Because I had wondered about that, because that was in 54.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think it was like a wave that it was going to happen.
And that's why they got on board at that time.
I don't think they wanted to be defiant.
And it was state law that students could not, black and white students could not go to school together, was it state law?
I don't know the answer to that. Do you have any research?
What was the question?
Was it state law that blacks and whites could not attend public schools?
I think so.
And what about public accommodations? Because when I used public transportation to leave my home to go to Jesuit, I could not sit in the front of the bus, and that was still going on at that time.
Were you aware of like the impact you would have on in Dallas?
Yeah. I didn't want to fail I was the first, and I was made known that I didn't. That was the attitude that I had personally, that I didn't want to fail.
Well, in one of the letters from Father Shields, who was president at the time, there's some discussion over the fact that, as best we know, this kind of started, obviously Brown was the impetus. The Jesuits in the Southern Province had been discussing how to integrate, and they started integrating the universities first.
Oh, okay.
Then the question was, all right, now we know that Brown's going to pass. What are we going to do about it? We have a very racist province, quite frankly. So they looked at New Orleans, no way. Looked at Shreveport, I mean, that all of the cities where they had high schools at the time were very Southern in their thinking. And they thought, okay, Dallas. Now, Dallas was not known as a progressive city by a long shot, but it's kind of like, okay, Dallas is our best possibility to integrate in the high schools. George Allen, who was Arthur's father, was politically active in the city.
Okay.
And he taught at some school.
He ran a business school.
Ran a business school.
Down by the cathedral.
And so, this is a part of the puzzle we're not sure about. Unless y'all just found something, I don't know. But George, I think, on his end of it, was pushing for integration. Because he was too active. I can't see him just sitting back and going, oh, well, the Supreme Court's looking at Brown versus Board, and, you know, I'll just kind of sit back and wait and see what happens. I think his mind was working as much as the Jesuits were and the diocese was and so forth. And maybe the city fathers. And so I think that he was working with different people. They were all kind of working together. It was all kind of converging. And they, the letters that we have indicate that Arthur would be a good candidate. He had a father who was very supportive, okay. very active.
Okay. Well, the bishop called and asked Jesuit to admit Arthur Allen.
Oh, the bishop did?
Yes.
But the
yes.
Jesuits were had already decided to integrate in Dallas.
Okay.
So that's what it is. These things kind of came together at the same time.
Okay. We don't know how the bishop came to call Jesuit with Arthur Allen's name. And that's a missing piece that we can't figure
out.
Can
you talk to Arthur?
Uh-huh.
Does he know? He doesn't know either. Is his father still living? No.
I know he said that his father, was he in opposition? He didn't want to attend Jesuit.
Arthur did not.
Yeah.
And he says that it caused a rift in his family until he was quite in his middle age. And he said it was a terrible, terrible time for he and his family. But anyway, so Arthur tested for the school. Apparently, he didn't do real well on his test scores. And then, and this is information we've gleaned from letters from the president of the school. So the fear was, oh my gosh, we're going to bring this black student in and he's going to flunk out. And then we're going to really look terrible.
Right. Oh my God. Yeah.
So yes, they were looking for a very smart academic black student to bring
that's
in and counteract
yes. yeah,
their fear
yeah.
that Arthur wouldn't be able to handle
yeah.
the academics.
Wow.
And that's how you came
how
in.
How you came about.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
Because I tell him, everybody who knows me, we've been married 46 years, smartest man I know.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, he's very quiet, mm-hmm. very profound. I'm the hell raised in the family. The hell accustomed. They pay me no attention. But when he speaks, he's very, very quiet and low key. As that, you know, old commercial EF had.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
Oh,
everybody
gosh.
Listens.
You know,
that's why.
You never know. I envision something similar to Jackie Robinson that I read, that what happened to, when he integrated the mm-hmm. Major League.
Mm-hmm.
The harassment that he got,
mm-hmm.
but a Jesuit, I never was. Mm-hmm. You know, there was no racial mm-hmm. backlash, no N-words, mm-hmm. no bullying, no mm-hmm. harassment, and Jesuit grew on me, and I enjoyed it.
Were you junior class president?
I was. Sophomore class
sophomore
vice president. I don't know how I got that, but.
Okay, so it was your sophomore year, yeah. your first year there.
Right. And just the first few days of school, I don't know. The thing about Dallas at that time, the bus transportation from all the various neighborhoods, both black and white, you catch it and it takes you downtown Dallas. Then you transfer.
They haven't changed that.
And they haven't changed
that. No.
Then you transfer to go back to whatever neighborhood you were going to. So I caught the bus at my bus stop, about a block away from my house. Went downtown, transferred. When I transferred, that was the bus that some of the students rode to Jesuit, and I had to sit in the back where. Here are students that I knew. You know, we associate together at school.
So
when school was out, when we all caught the bus to go back home, I had to sit at different areas, I mean, away from them. It was almost like I didn't know them.
Mm-hmm.
So forth. So that was it.
So, when you first got to school, where would you go?
Well, it was right across the street from the Oak Lawn, and the first few days in school, I felt kind of isolated because I was quiet, didn't participate in class, just sat and tried to learn. So until later on, I began to develop friends. I think very few students talked with me And I guess I had to wear on them and they wear on me and so forth. But the first few days were very trying, trying to get acclimated to the school. Mm-hmm. And that trust level wasn't there, and I didn't have many friends that would. And one of the things that I didn't do, Arthur and I never bonded. And I wish now that we could, because we could have talked about mm-hmm. what he was feeling and what I was feeling in school and so forth, and maybe it would have helped out, but we never bonded. I never talked with him outside of school. Okay. Or I knew of him, and I knew his father was a well-to-do person at that time. I thought he was, but mm-hmm. we never associated.
So was it because you were in different class levels that you
That's
never...
That's one of the reasons. I was a sophomore and he was a freshman. I very seldom saw him. Mm-hmm. I wish they would have given me a buddy the first few days of school to a mentor or some right. student that right. would have shown me around the school mm-hmm. and so forth. Because when I came there, I was a sophomore, and those students had been together mm-hmm. their freshman year.
Right.
So they knew each other.
Right.
And I didn't know many of them.
Wow,
at the
that
very
must have been so
yeah.
lonely. Mm-hmm. Well, I would think you were really lonely and frightened.
Because high school is frightening. Of
yes.
Itself.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah.
So when on your first day, did the Jesuits
oh, yeah, I
greet
the father,
you?
Or the principal, Father
Cameron.
Cameron. And he indicated to me if we had any problems just to make sure that I come and see him and talk about it. But that was the only instructions that I had, so I was just left alone basically.
So you just walked in the front door on the
right.
and just
I had no one to greet me or the welcome to Jesuit or
oh my gosh.
Those sort of things.
I'm gonna walk right back out the door.
How were your teachers?
Teachers were good. I didn't have any backlash at all as far as the teachers were concerned. they helped a lot. I remember a case of a math teacher. I took geometry, and that even though I majored in math in college, that course turned me upside down. I don't know what it was about high school geometry, but I could never catch on. And I think just by the luck of it, he passed me with a D. I don't know. But he was one of the late teachers that I took. And I enjoyed Latin. I took 3 years of it.
We're both
really.
Yes, me too.
Yeah.
He won a scholarship in Latin.
Really?
Yeah, I went... before that, there was one counselor said that I would not make it in college. I think my overall average in Jesuit was above average. But
and he said you would not make it. He just told you that.
He said I would not be successful.
Did he give you a reason?
Not to, because of my grades, I guess. I mean, but I remember that distinctly. But anyway, I took a scholarship test for St. Edward's. Mm-hmm. I think it's in San Antonio.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
And it was all Latin.
Oh, it's in Austin. Yeah.
They gave me a paragraph and said translate the it was in Latin. Translate it. Then they gave me an English paragraph that I had to translate into Latin.
Wow.
So,
wow.
Yeah.
Isn't that amazing?
That's incredible.
But I did get a $500 scholarship at that time.
Yeah, that's a lot of money then.
I couldn't come up with the money with my parents and so forth, so
yeah.
So I had to do other means of going to college.
And you talked about being scared in the time leading up to coming to Jesuit. Were those fears substantiated? Did you feel like...
No, they were not.
So you didn't feel overwhelmed in your classes for a lot of the time? Oh, okay.
No, at first I thought about things that we talked about, things that were going on in the country with civil rights and everything, and then I felt uneasy because of all that was going around. So here I know that dealt with the black population. I wondered how are they feeling? Are they looking at me? Are they what are they thinking? And everything is going on, and you had the Birmingham bus protest. And later on, I think in my junior year, you had the Little Rock situation.
Right,
all that's going on, and that's on TV every night, and I'm going to school.
Wow.
What, after Arthur graduated in 59, what was the second wave of black students? What?
Remember,
George Lewis.
I think that's what it was.
Graduated in 60. Do you remember him? Mm. He would have been a freshman your junior year.
You know, I never met.
Yeah.
Never met a George.
But we still have we actually don't have any records of how many additional black students were subsequently admitted. So we have to just go through the yearbooks and count.
Jesus didn't gradually, I mean.
I think a gradual increase.
What, do you know what our percentage is now? I don't.
Well, we have about close to 30% minority students, and then the breakdown for race, I'm not sure what those numbers are. Do you know what those numbers are?
And there were minority students at Jesus when I was there, because I remember Hector Ruiz, and he had a younger brother there, and I was wondering, there was no problem with Hispanic students, was there?
Yeah, there didn't seem to be an issue with that.
We have not explored that.
No, that's an interesting item.
Okay, because there were some there.
Yes, yeah.
Okay. There were some here in St. Louis?
No,
Jesuit. Oh, I thought you meant problems.
No,
You know, Texas has always had such a high Latino population that I don't know that that's... That, you know, I don't think integration was an issue at all with a Mexican skin. It was more a black thing, wasn't it? But that's something we ought to look into.
But it amazes me, as I sit here and listen to him, that he did not have a support system in place at the high school. You know, if you're going to do something like that, you would have some kind of advocacy, something going on. You know, you would think.
Some outlet
for him. Right.
Especially if you were so nervous about whether it was going to be a success.
14 years old, right.
You're a child.
Right.
Mm-hmm. I'm shocked.
Yeah.
Truly.
I mean, and I just got teary eyed, you know, because he never shared that with me about being afraid and that. Because we talk about it, but a lot of things he didn't talk about. Mm-hmm. And then through the narrative, I found some things out, and I'm going, whoa, I didn't know this. You know, when he went on a retreat somewhere and he had to eat in the kitchen or...
Gives me chills to think about it. And,
you know, so.
Yeah, that's when we went to Grand Cisco and we stopped for lunch at a restaurant. And they wouldn't let me eat in the classmates. I had to go to the kitchen in the back door and eat in the kitchen and everything. That was one of the things.
So you did not have, it was not that you couldn't eat in the kitchen. I mean, you didn't have to eat in the kitchen when you were at the retreat house.
No.
Okay,
no,
I misunderstood that.
No.
Okay.
Did that happen anywhere else, or was it just at that?
Just at
house?
That. And speaking of that, in it, Jesuit was like a safe haven because I left home in the morning and I went there and I was there during the day and after school because I was in band. My neighborhood was low income and 100% black, but there were gangs, and I kind of think about, I'm glad that pulled me out of the neighborhood for a while, because I think I would have had problems going to schools in the neighborhood and so forth, but that served as a safe haven for me. But once I left Jesuit, then the neighborhoods that surround Jesuit were wealthy. I think it's Highland Park, was it? I didn't run into any opposition because I never associated with any adults or parents in the neighborhood there. But Jesuit was my haven. Going to school and classes and activities and so forth, I think helped me out.
Who were some of your best buddies at Jesuit? You remember?
Yeah. Yeah, I have to.
You might be able to help you.
57 years ago.
Yes. Then it's not like we hang out with our high school friends.
That's the one you had. Yours is white.
I know, I had the 50, that was the 56 year ago.
Oh, it was 56. Yeah.
I was in a band.
Look at you!
Had you not seen that?
No!
Well, we didn't have a 57 or 58.
Oh. Yeah, as soon as you walked in, I recognized you immediately.
I have some other pictures, too.
Okay. But you look scared on here. Where are your glasses? Where you wear your glasses in?
I participated in the band. I didn't have a musical background.
Do you have a picture of
Coleman or Holman?
He's Holman.
Oh, in the right.
He needed a French horn
player.
He asked me to try that, and that's the hardest instrument.
You had no musical background. He wants you to play the French horn. I love it.
I couldn't make it on that.
And then
so
here's the CD where I put a bunch of those pictures
make it on
there.
That. That's when the drum section came out.
I'm a crybaby. Look at you.
Is this the band?
Yeah. Oh my goodness. There you are. Look. I spotted you. I guess so. You're the only one.
That was great.
Do we have pictures of this?
Those are for you. Those are for you.
Oh, my kids are going to love this.
On the CD, there are copies, digital copies, so if you want to enlarge them and get bigger ones. And then I also put some pictures of the current school on there, too.
Oh, my Lord.
That was my only association with the community when I was in a marching band and we played football games at Holland Park or
whatever. Y'all played your games at the Highland Park Stadium and at...
Look at you.
At Fair Park.
Yeah, I didn't know if you wanted a recent picture of
it. Oh, yeah, that'd be great.
Absolutely,
yeah. Awesome, thank you.
He has teeth in that one. He's going to be all right after the 13th. We're trying to get him in there before this, but...
There was one incident. As I said, I never associated with classmates outside of Jesuit. I never called them. I never saw them outside of the school, except for one time when in my senior year, the classmate in the trigonometry class, he called me for help because I did well in trig. I like math, and that was the only association outside. And we really never went to any social events or whatever.
So sad.
And my mother didn't go. She said she didn't feel comfortable going out there. We didn't have to catch the bus and so forth. And one interesting story, my senior year, we had graduation at Fair Park Auditorium. And the Fair Park is only a few blocks to where I live. My mother... And my mother was the only one that came from my family to graduation. And after graduation, she left. I gave her my cap and gown, so all I did was walk. Just think about what's next, and then going through all of this, what am I going to do next? So I just walked that night. I was near home, so I was familiar with the neighborhood. But I just walked and talked.
No parties and nothing.
And that's another thing I never did get a chance with my classmates with those sort of things, dances or things of that nature.
You wouldn't have been able to go because the dances at that time were generally held at the Lakewood Country Club, and they would not have
even let him in.
No,
right.
Did Father Kemmer tell you that?
that you wouldn't be able to go to any of the dances, or was that just something that you realized?
I realized that because I wanted to play football like Arthur did, but I realized that they wouldn't, and he went through some things too, and I realized that I wouldn't be able to play. I like football. I would have done that. So I got involved in other activities and tried to spend time on my studies rather than trying to go out for football.
Yeah, those football days were very difficult for Arthur, the way he tells it, because he says that on Fridays he would listen anxiously for his name to be called. And if they called him to the principal's office, he knew that whatever school they were playing football with that night had complained that they weren't going to play against a team that had a black student. And that's what he would go to the principal's office.
Did he say it, the long walk?
Yeah, it was a really long walk. And they would say, you know, we leave the decision up to you, a kid, as to whether or not you're going to play. Well, of course, what could he say? Yeah, but they would have to forfeit if Arthur did play. I mean, so what's Arthur supposed to say?
Yeah.
But he was a great player.
Yeah, he was.
And apparently.
Wow. Mm-hmm. Those are different times. And it's so difficult for young people to realize because everything has just been so open to them. Mm-hmm. Because even here in St. Louis, you know, there were things. I'm a member of a senior theater group, and the founder is a European woman. She's white. And we were just talking about some things here in St. Louis. And my perspective was so different from hers. And I could just see the red just creeping up. And I was just telling her that was the reality of it. And she didn't have a clue. You know, they just assumed, you know, and we just cannot make those assumptions. No, we could not. And because we knew we couldn't do it, we didn't do it. You know, there was an amusement park here called the Highlands. Forest Park Community College is on that same spot where the Highlands, where it burned down, it was a wooden thing. We couldn't go there. We couldn't go into the department stores and try on clothes and shoes. And they only had certain people on the escalators to escort you up and everybody else. It was just crazy. But she didn't know that. So if you don't know, if you haven't been exposed to it, and see the young people, you know, when my kids came along, they could go anywhere. Six Flags, they didn't know anything. And, you know, you tell them about it, they look at you like you're crazy. Yeah. But they don't realize it. And this is so good when they see this, because see, they've heard this scenario, but not like what has happened the last 4 or 5 years since we've been communicating. Because he kept a lot of this to himself. I didn't even know a lot of it.
Yeah, there were very few people, even after I... all these years, I seldom let anyone know. I don't know. I don't know in my vein, or I don't like the buzz.
I don't think he even in his first narrative. I don't even think he mentioned that he was an administrator. It was like he was an element. He was like a teacher.
No, he didn't at first.
I'm telling people that I was the first.
I know he didn't. Right, never told that.
I had to pull information.
And that's the way I found stuff out. Now here we've been got 46, a long 46. But I found stuff out, and oh my God! And when he told me about the graduation, because my high school senior year was just wonderful, and graduation night, and then my baby was just walking around by himself trying to find himself.
That's right.
Isn't that sad?
It is sad.
Yeah.
Oh, and that's not a good one. I got you like you're ready to slap him or something.
Oh, I'm sorry.
Your arm was just out.
Okay.
Now you mentioned only your mother went to graduation. Why was that? How come your other family members didn't attend the ceremony?
Well, my sister dropped out of it, so she didn't graduate. And my brother was off doing things that he liked to do. He was off, I think he was living at home, and he was working, and that was what he liked to do. The fact that he was working, he had money and buying clothes, and so forth. So in my at that time, I think my younger sisters were, my stepsisters were only about 5 or 6 years old, and I think they were staying somewhere else for a while. So it was a challenge in my life. I don't like to use that as an excuse, but you know, being sometimes we like to say, okay, I'm not privileged and low income, and we want to put that out there as not doing well, and I don't want to do that. But that's what happened. We did have a kind of a tough time, but I don't
know. That was the reality of it, yeah.
So,
you had a tough time, but you persevered and.
Right. Yeah. That was real for him. Mm-hmm.
Do you feel like going to Jesuit helped your employment opportunities, or maybe your college opportunities, as opposed to going to the school that you were at before? Do you feel like it had a positive influence on your career path?
Yeah, I don't think the college. I went to Grambling State University. That's a historically black college in Louisiana. I don't know if they knew about.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Yes. When they put down Jesuit, I think a lot, like in St. Louis, we had the Smith Jesuit.
Right.
We got, I don't know if St. Louis, you
Jesuit too, Southern too. Yeah.
And we may have another one. But those schools are looked on as the best education. So I don't know, putting on my transcript, I mean my application, that I attended Jesuit, whether that meant anything to that college. But it helped me, and I graduated cum laude from Brandon, and that helped me a lot. I think the Latin helped tremendously. And I was going to be an English major, but I did so well in math that I switched, and that's how I got my major in math. So, yeah, it helped me a lot. I don't think I would be where I was today when I'm going to Jesuit.
Are you closing the dining room?
No, man.
Okay.
He could really construct the sentence. He could.
Okay. Just want to make sure we weren't in your way here.
Thank you.
Can I have a glass of water?
Yes, sir. You can.
I would like one.
Yes, ma'am.
Like and a straw.
Yes, ma'am.
Thank
would
you.
Like me to sit a couple pictures on the table.
That would be fine. Thank you.
So do you recognize any of the guys there?
Oh, I'm... Yes,
I was so taken aback with my bag.
Michael, did we make a copy? Did you make a copy of his senior picture?
I did not, but I will do that.
We'll do that and send it to you. Because it sounds to me like you've never seen that senior picture.
I've never seen it.
Yeah, I'll do that, definitely.
Okay, thank you. Because I would like to get that.
Jerry Pettibone.
Okay, Pettibone was one you hung around with?
He had a brother that did well in football. I forget his name, but it's another Pettibone.
And you do not have this annual?
No.
If you'd like, I don't know if you want it, but I can make
would.
A copy of it as well and
for
send
him.
It to you.
Okay.
Leo Ruiz.
Who is that?
Leo Ruiz.
Ruiz?
Mm-hmm.
Was he in the band too?
I'm not sure. I knew him and did. I liked him.
How many of them participate in the alumni functions, any of the African-Americans?
William Schuster, another.
I don't know.
You know, I'm not involved in the alumni activities, so I couldn't tell you.
Thank you so much.
Okay, Bill Schuster, he's a deacon now in the church.
Right? Steiner.
Steiner.
Laura Steiner.
I've never let bacon go to waste.
I know. Everything's good with bacon. Never good bacon. It's good. It's dry.
Always keep the fruit. Thank you.
Mm-hmm.
tell like another picture of water?
No.
I think this would be good.
Those were the closest that I can see. It's the first time in 57 years that I've seen, I mean, I heard of these names.
Did you know the name Hettler? H-E-T-T-L-E-R?
Is he in?
I don't know if he's your year or what.
Yes, he was. Okay. Robert Hettler. I remember the name.
Okay, because he's one of the ones who responded when I asked what some of the guys in your grade thought.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, everybody said positive things. I sent all those to you, right?
No, you were going to. Let's see, what did you say?
Did I not send all the responses?
No, because see, I'm dealing with the email.
I know.
I would have remembered because I marked them out.
You let me know.
Yeah, I thought. But I will do that.
Okay, do that.
I forgot I
thought I sent them.
Chats.
I apologize. Okay. I got about four or five responses back, and Hettler was one of them who indicated that he knew you
what?
Fairly well. So.
Yeah.
Bob Hettler.
Photo ID required instead of your signature. Yeah, I read that in Consumer Reports.
We're talking to one of our heroes here, in case you wanted to know.
No, I was listening.
Very courageous man.
Listening to some of the story while I was walking.
Yeah, okay.
Yes, ma'am. He really is. He opened the way, it seems like, for the school.
Yeah, that's right. He did.
Thank you.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I just wanted to know how they felt in their minds when black students came in, and what did they think, what were their feelings and so forth regarding that.
Right. Well, everybody seems to mirror what you and Arthur have said, that you did not feel in any way put down by the students, that the students treated you well, or maybe just didn't, you know, interact, that you didn't have a lot of negative, you didn't have any negative response, you had indicated, and Arthur's indicated that as well.
Yeah. He didn't have any problems?
No, not from the students. Okay. He said there were some adults in the school.
Oh, okay.
He said some of the priests he had more problems
because
with.
Because the football fans in the stand? Or?
I think, my understanding of talking with him, some of those priests were just good old New Orleans guys, and they weren't used to having blacks around unless it was in a
subservient
role. Mm-hmm. And they were not happy that Jesuit was integrating. But he never goes any further, really. He doesn't ever say this priest said this to me, but there are others at the school who have heard Arthur talk too that agree they understand him as saying that the priests, some of the priests, a few of the priests, not many, not all by a long shot, but that's where they had any conflict, felt not wanted. But I doubt seriously there was any kind of overt.
Now, did Arthur ever play football?
Yes, he was quite a good football player. Yeah.
Okay.
He was written up a lot in the school newspaper, in the area newspapers.
Now, when did he play?
He got a
what
football
year?
Scholarship.
50s.
So he actually got a chance to eventually play?
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
So he got a college scholarship?
He went to Marquette. Yeah. He went to Marquette and played football on scholarship.
Oh, okay.
Which,
cool.
That's
cool. Okay.
Yeah. But Arthur talks about that sometimes when they would have to go for an away game and that they would stop on the road to eat, that there were times when whatever that restaurant was did not want him in the restaurant, but that what happened is the team got back on the bus
and went someplace
else.
Okay. There was, you mentioned about the various cities that they thought integration would work, but I read that like some towns like San Antonio also had black students at Jesuit schools here there in Texas?
No, there were no. You and Arthur were the first black students in a southern province school. Now, I don't know if there were other. Do you know, Peyton, if there were other schools in the nation?
No, in Texas.
Jesuit schools?
Texas.
Because he was playing on our football team, and I thought, was there, someone wrote that they came to Jesuit and they, the black students had to sleep over, because they couldn't stay in the hotel with their classmates.
Well, Arthur couldn't stay in the same hotel if they went away to play a football game. He had to stay at a different hotel. Is that what you...
No, I thought he said that the other team
other
had,
teams? Oh.
Had black football players when they came to Dallas. Then they had to...
I don't remember that.
They slept at the school in the resident area. Where.
Do you guys remember reading that in Arthur's interview?
Him saying if other schools have...
Yeah, I don't recall him saying anything about that either.
Oh, okay.
But I was under the impression that Dallas was the first Jesuit school in the South to integrate.
In our province.
Really, in the South.
In the South.
Yeah.
Okay.
Because the Jesuit provinces are broken up into five or six states.
Oh, okay.
And it's the Southern province that we know about.
Okay.
And it's very likely that, say, a northeastern province or a west coast province could have already integrated or been integrating at the same time, and we don't know.
Okay. But this was the southern province.
Yes.
Okay.
Right. Yeah.
Okay.
I left essentially after I graduated from Dallas for good. Arthur stayed there, so he was able to continue relationships with students there.
Yes.
Yeah.
Okay. Right, and he became very active in our alumni group.
Yeah, I read that.
So you didn't keep in touch with any classmate?
No, I have not. Okay. When I graduated from the Fair Park and left, I have not seen or talked with any of my classmates. I read about them and said I get copies of the Jesuit
Today. And I had
today.
Even asked him years ago, but, why don't you... make a contribution or go back when they have the alumni thing. Mm-hmm. And a lot of times he would never see, just didn't say anything. He would just like ignore him like I hadn't said anything.
Uh-huh.
You
know, so. It's a very male characteristic.
Yeah, I know.
Do you have plans to come to Dallas soon or in the near future?
Yeah.
Because we'd love for you to come to school.
Okay.
Oh, okay.
That would be awesome.
Okay.
And we will greet you at the front door.
We'll have students leading you all around.
Let him get that tooth in.
Yeah.
But no, we have his sister's there, and we have nephew who's at Texas Tech. He's a junior.
Okay.
And we just talked to him on Thanksgiving, so we'll, you know, we go back and forth.
Yeah, that would be awesome.
If you could address your classmates today, what would you tell them?
I don't know. After all these years, is that what you're talking about?
Yes.
I'd probably say that, you know, I enjoyed being a Jesuit and associating with them, because I never had any problems with my sophomore class that I was there, and I kind of warmed up to them as days and weeks went by, and I really enjoyed my junior and senior year associating with them. When I was a sophomore, we had a lot of class projects, extracurricular things that, I don't know if they still do that. We had homeroom classes, like...
Your class stayed together all day long?
Yes.
And then the teachers came to you guys, right?
Right.
Okay. So that y'all really gelled as a class of 20 or 30 students?
Right. And we... like one of the classrooms was in bad shape, and we get together painting and so forth, and did a lot of activities, charitable activities,
right.
Raising money,
right.
And so forth. So I kind of enjoyed that.
Well, when you come back, if you would like to,
okay,
then let us know if you'd like us to maybe gather some other men from your class, if you'd like to see some of them, maybe have a little social or something. I don't know if that's what you want to do, but it's certainly a possibility should you decide to do that.
Okay. What is Arthur doing now? I'd like to someday also sit down and talk with him.
Okay.
That's because I, as I said, I very seldom saw him at school or even outside of school.
He's, of course, retired now as well. He is quite ill, and his contact information is on the Jesuit alumni page. Do you ever go in to look at that alumni page?
Yeah.
You can get his email from there.
Okay.
And he does answer email.
Okay.
But if you want to talk to him, you might do it soon.
Wow.
I don't know how ill he is, but I understand it's quite ill. And I think that he would welcome hearing from you.
That would be great.
But he became a sports, not promoter so much, but a marketer. Is that the word I'm wanting?
Mm-hmm.
Kind of sports marketing.
Okay.
For athletes and such, as I understand it. But that's what he did.
You know, as you sit here and listen, and for the young people sitting here, memories are so important. And the path that you take and all the past experiences as you go forth, you know, think about all of that. Because I'm just sitting here listening to him.
And you knew he was a fine man, but now you've
heard
little
stories
that you never knew.
But you know what? I did not know. You know, when I first met him, it was crazy. He bought my girlfriend a pillow to move. And he's going that long bus ride. And when I woke up, I was all drained out. I had to sleep. And Miss Woodson was sitting there. She was staring at us. And said, I've been watching all night. He didn't do anything. He said he was all his arm was all dead and stuff. And I had a guy, but he just wore me down. He just and my mother fed him. And after that, it was just
after
on.
That, he
it
wasn't was going anywhere.
But my father did not like him.
Oh.
And he bought my father some whiskey for Christmas. And they became best friends.
What kind of whiskey?
I have no idea.
So you have a knack for finding just the right gift, huh?
And my sister, my baby sister, was real young when we first started dating. And she woke him up every morning. You know how you court and you leave and you go home and like, but she would wake him up and for him to get up to go to work. And he bought her an outfit that summer. He got permission from my mother. And she it had a little straw hat with sunglasses over the little brim. And now my baby sister is 60, but she loves him. She just, and they told me if anything ever happened, it would be all my fault.
They just told me that. How can you do that?
But he's been around a long, long time. And he was so different from the guys. I dated clowns when you really think about it. And we're so totally opposite. Are you really?
It seems like that.
But it works. He's the voice of reason. See, I'm ready to slap somebody.
Yeah, but you survived teaching elementary school.
That
requires enormous patience.
It's wonderful. And as he said, it's a calling. You have to love it.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. And I'll tell anybody, don't go in it for the money because there's no money.
Yeah.
But you have to go in it for the love. of the profession and what you, and you do it 24 hours a day. Your mind is always working how to make things better.
Yeah.
Okay, this lesson, you know, what can I do? You know, and every year until I knew it was time to go, I was excited about going to work, but then a group came in and just decimated St. Louis Public Schools, and I knew I couldn't make a difference, and it was time to go. And I never turned around.
Really? What did they do?
There was some money issues, and they brought an outside source in and got rid of the school.
Wasn't that
board.
On 60 Minutes?
Oh, it was. That was terrible.
I remember
and then,
that.
And then they
yeah.
went to New Orleans and messed that up, and
mm-hmm.
wow.
and they paid themselves all this money, and they outsourced the lunch program, the janitorial program. It was horrible.
Oh,
and it was just, it was time to go. And then I retired, and we came out the following year. And, you know, we traveled, and he taught at college level. And
did you ever think you might teach at one of the Jesuit high schools here?
He taught at a Catholic
school. Money.
Yeah, it was like
a salary issue.
Yeah.
Big more than anything
Where
else.
Where were you when we first met, when you started?
Okay, I did start at a Catholic school.
A Catholic
oh, okay.
School.
It wasn't
really
a Jesuit school.
It wasn't
Jesuit,
mm-hmm. but it was a Catholic
school. Oh, then it wasn't real.
It's called
They're
Providence.
Adding
yeah.
things on every year at the new schools. Did they just recently add a wing or something?
A new athletic.
Yeah.
Oh, that's they, right. I did see the picture of that.
Yeah.
But. Yeah, and it's certainly it's a completely modern campus. You know, computers, in computer accessibility everywhere in the school. And it's it really, really, as Jesuit tends to do, stayed really up to date. With everything.
The old school, of course, where you attended, has been torn down years
oh.
ago. Because
oh.
it just got so in such bad shape. That's why they built the Inwood Road campus.
Okay.
Is that Blackburn campus got so old they couldn't afford to repair it.
I like that school. One day, I think it was in my junior year, I was up on the top floor. It's where they had the gym. And lo and behold, I was looking at, sitting on the bleachers looking at the window. And what did I see? A tornado.
Ooh, wow.
Coming toward the building. Last moment, it veered. Off a little bit, and one of the Jesuits who was injured in a car accident. I think it was in 57 or 58.
Wow. So that was 57. Are you talking about the tornado in the Oaklawn area?
Yeah.
Yeah, actually, my grandfather owns Sunshine Laundry, a dry cleaner that's on Maple and Wycliffe, so not too far away from that area, and yeah, same thing. They had some tornado damage at the time.
Wow.
57.
I can see it vividly, the funnel and everything, and it was coming toward the school. And last moment, was there.
Did you just, were you sitting there just paralyzed?
I just happened to be sitting there, and it was raining while I was waiting, I guess, to stop raining so I could catch the bus home. And then I could see the tornado. God.
Wow.
And said that the old school, the Jesuits had residents in there, uh-huh. and so I was a member of the altar boys, because I always have been an altar boy since very little. It was a club, I forget the name.
Sodality?
Church.
The Birchman's.
Yeah.
Right, I was a member of that, so I used to come up two or three mornings a week and they'd have altars lined up where the priest could say mass, mm-hmm. and I was an altar boy, or a member of that club there.
You got an award for altar serving? Is that true?
I may have. Some things are kind of clouded there. I may have, because I did that.
So you don't, like, on days where you just really, like you say, you kind of just were isolated, lonely, you went home, do you remember if you talked to your mother at all about those first weeks at school?
She was on me every day and asking me how it was and so forth. And I tried to do the low-key thing with her, and that everything's okay and so forth. So. And then by then, my mother remarried, and stepfather, we talked a lot, too.
Yeah, he had a great stepfather.
You did what?
I see you had a great stepfather, yeah. Mr. Yeah. Posey.
So you did have someone to kind of process. Right.
When did your mom and stepdad, they're not still alive, are they?
No.
When did they die?
My mother died in, I believe, 1988. Mm. And stepfather died in the early 80s, in the 1980s.
Okay. And did your mother always live in Dallas?
From Louisiana. And that's where my ancestors, or all the way to my great-great-grandparents, they were farmers. When my mother moved to Dallas, I have an aunt that married a doctor from Dallas, his name is John Anderson. And he owned a lot of property downtown. So my aunt, Pearl Anderson. Mm-hmm. I don't know if you know.
Somehow it's familiar. Mm-hmm.
She has an elementary school name, a middle school name after her in Dallas.
And that's your aunt.
That's my aunt.
Mm-hmm. Oh, wow.
And she had something at Bishop College.
Uh-huh.
I don't think Bishop College is still in
it. Is.
Is it? Mm-hmm. Yeah.
It's only got about 100 students in it, but it's still chugging along.
Yeah, I think a building is named after her. Something is named after her.
Well, what was she a teacher? Is that why was the school?
I don't
named
know. I think they
her?
Gave a lot of money.
Yeah, she was a philanthropist.
She was a philanthropist. Okay.
Because John Anderson, her husband, was a wealthy, and she inherited all the money.
She passed for white.
Okay.
she looks like a white lady.
Okay. Oh, really?
Mm-hmm. Well, was he
white?
White.
Yeah,
as well?
He was white. Yeah.
He was white.
Yeah.
Okay.
Oh, he. Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay, and she passed as white. Now, yeah, did he know that she was white?
I have
not
no
white?
Idea.
Yeah, he did.
Okay. He did.
Yeah.
He did know.
Okay.
If I had been around, I would have found all the scoop out.
she came from Louisiana to live with her, and she was Catholic, and that's why I was raised in a Catholic background.
Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Now, my father, I don't know much. He's from South Texas. I didn't know much about him.
Oh.
Because I was little when they separated. So.
But you don't know what part of Louisiana your family's from?
Oh, yeah, we know. Mm-hmm.
Okay.
Because we've been able to.
Because my mother's from Louisiana as well, okay. And I've been doing a lot of research into the family.
See, that's what we did. We got back to, what, 1857? Yeah. We couldn't go any further because we didn't know slave names. So we've gone to the cemeteries. Mm-hmm. We've taken pictures of the gravestones, mm-hmm. the things. It's a Bowden Road. Right. Where is that, Charles, where the Bowden Road is?
Yeah, I don't know if she lives in North Louisiana, Jonesboro. Monroe,
I know Monroe.
Ruston, in that area.
Uh-huh. Okay.
Mm-hmm. They were Bowdens.
My family's from the Opelousas area.
Okay, South Louisiana. Mm-hmm.
Yeah. So and we can go back to, because that's what he did when he first retired, the genealogy.
Yeah.
And we were on his mother's side. We've only gone to his mother's side, and we've gone all the way back to 1857.
Yeah.
But we can't get any further.
Then the slave thing that stifles
him. Yeah. And then the court, then they have a fire or something, and some of the stuff. And we sent off, mm-hmm. and they sent copies of this sheet. And all this beautiful cursive writing where they wrote all along the edge of the records. Oh, it's just fascinating.
Now, have you done that Ancestry.com?
Yes.
Okay.
Yes.
See, I was trying to put all my mother's history together because she's kind of like you. She didn't tell us much about her family. And so after we had to put her into assisted living, I cleaned out her house. And then she died recently, and so I've started, trying to get it organized.
Right.
And I didn't even know, her mother died in childbirth with her. Her father then left. So that's one reason she didn't talk a lot.
Right.
anyway, long story short, that Ancestry helped me organize things, and it's nice to be able to pull up documents
and read
a lot of
and
those
then
things.
You can call or email or do, I don't know how he did. How did you do for the courthouse? Did you call them?
Yeah, I called them and they gave them the name of the person, and they gave me records, so any records that they had on file associated with that name.
And then Ancestry.com, there's a caveat to, you have to be careful. You have to buy the stuff. They'll let you go so far, and then they stop you because they sucker you in. Then you have to buy the stuff. So for 1 year, I got it at Sam's. For a whole year, you can do all the research for free with this program. So we were able to get a lot done that way.
Well, I've gone back into the 1600s in some cases, and
okay.
I still just have to pay that annual membership.
See, we didn't do the annual membership.
Okay, because I felt like it was reasonable enough. It's like $120 a year or
right,
something.
Right, but see, he was doing it, but he's not computer literate.
Right.
He had a secretary.
Uh-huh.
So when he was an administrator, all he had to do was tell his secretary to pull up.
Yeah.
And when he retired, I became a secretary.
He still has a secretary.
There were a lot of skeletons in the closet when you do this.
I know. Oh, you found out all kinds of stuff.
Yeah. What'd you find out?
What is my great-great-grandmother?
Yeah.
She was had some children, and that's where Pearl Anderson came from. In.
Okay.
A Frenchman. She had a child, a girl, way of the Frenchman, and they tried to keep it quiet because they lived in a black neighborhood.
Uh-huh.
And the aunt that I talked about, Pearl Anderson, was the one, and they kept her quiet for about 8 or 9 years. 8 or 9 years for that. And so she came to Dallas after that, but they couldn't expose her in the rural area of Louisiana for fear that there'd be some repercussions for her.
Sure.
And when I first met her, I never would have known that was a relative of his, that she looked exactly. She had this real snow white hair, long with a bun, and all of her features. But I think she was reaching out because she was old. Mm-hmm. You know, as you get old, you kind of come back to reality.
Sure.
You know what I'm saying? But I wish I had been around earlier. I would have gotten out of school.
Well,
it was juicy.
I'll admit, when I found my family's first slave record, it shocked me.
Did it shock you?
It did. I knew it would happen probably.
Okay.
I mean, it's Louisiana.
Yeah, I was getting ready to say, yeah.
I mean, and my grandfather's family was from Mississippi. So
okay.
I knew it would happen, but it's when you find that first slave record.
And you see it, yeah.
And you see, oh my gosh, we owned 3 slaves.
Right.
Or, you know, that family did. It's kind of stunned me.
Okay.
For a
moment. That has been his journey, and I helped him with it. I haven't done but a little on my side, because my father was a twin.
Mm-hmm.
But they don't even have it down as a dual birth, so we don't know what's going on when you look at the at the records. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah. And some of those records are wrong,
I know,
too. I've had to, I think I'm going to have to delete this one whole wing of this family because I think I've got it all.
Oh, so you're charting
up.
It?
I am.
Oh, okay.
And that's why I finally decided. And I'm able to link into other people's families.
Right.
But there's one branch of a family that I think they went off and brought in some stuff that's not true. And occasionally I'll hear back from someone who'll say, you know, I just know, because my tree's open to the public.
Okay, so
and
anybody can come in.
They'll say, okay, the woman you have listed is not the woman who was actually married to.
Mm-hmm.
And so that's kind of interesting to try to make those connections.
Right. Well, his secretary has not done that portion.
Is she underpaid?
Really, I mean, you can tell. Ask him how much money he owes me for my service. Just ask.
$20,000.
And that's cheap.
All in all, in terms of Jesuit, that was a good part of my lifetime.
Yeah.
As I said, I really enjoyed being there and support.
Well, we brought you some things. Let me show you.
Oh my goodness.
I really need blanket. that has the Jesuit seal on it.
Then, my goodness.
I don't know if you've seen this book.
Yes, I've seen it.
Okay. And what's also on that CD is we had the band play the fight song and record it for you.
Okay.
So that's on there. Okay. And then this is a concert that the percussion group did at our school.
And that was what you were, a percussionist. Yeah. A drummer.
Yeah. So, and this is a letter from the principal for you.
He wanted to send a letter, and we got you a little Jesuit.
This is our latest logo shirt.
Yeah, I'm going to grab it.
Okay.
That is so cool.
A nice little coffee mug.
And he drinks coffee.
With the Jesuit logo on. It's kind of cool.
Okay, thank you.
Oh, yeah. Whoa.
So, enjoy those.
Oh, my goodness. I don't want to send an email as a thank you note. Is there a place, an address, because I'm from the old school thank you notes to send to you and Cheryl and the young people.
Oh, sure.
Okay, give it to me.
Yeah,
please.
I'll just give you one.
Emails are so impersonal.
Michael has a card and I have a card.
I agree.
Do you agree?
I do. I handwrite all my thank you notes.
Oh,
yes,
I'm
ma'am.
So happy. Oh. See, you're a man after my own heart.
It's another funny
thank
incident.
You.
And, I was in a band, and I don't know if Mr. Holman, I guess he started that. We were marching, doing formations on a football field during halftime, and it was the first time that we'd like to do steps.
Oh, God.
And I'm trying to... And I'm not good at steps.
No,
and I'm
no.
trying to beat the drum.
And march.
And keep it in steps with it. And we were trying to do dances and steps in front of it. And I know I messed up a lot.
I think that would take a lot of coordination.
And that was so amazing to me. I just mentioned it to him because he doesn't dance or... And to be in the marching band, my God. When you see marching bands today, they do all kinds of stuff.
Yeah, well, especially for the Grambling.
Yeah.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
Yeah. Yeah.
Oh,
were you in the Grambling band?
No.
No.
No. Oh, yeah. When I left Jesuit, I put that behind me.
Oh, okay.
It would take a tremendous amount of practice or whatever to be in Grambling's band.
Oh, mm-hmm.
Yeah.
They are great.
They were.
They still have the every year during the state fair, Grambling and Prairie View.
Right, Prairie View. Yeah, right. At the
oh, really? They still do that? Still okay.
And it's like I'd go there just to watch the bands.
Yeah.
I mean.
Oh
it's
yeah,
like,
just the halftime show.
Oh, just the halftime show would be worth just seeing.
Absolutely.
You're also mentioned in that book at the beginning when you read that.
Oh,
I forgot.
Is?
Yes. Oh. Yeah. Okay. I think you and Arthur are mentioned. I forgot what page it is, but.
Yeah, what
are
you
planning
to do that article? No, I mean after graduation.
I haven't really decided yet, but I'm looking into the academies.
Payne's a junior.
Okay.
And you're a senior.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
Graduation rate's still up there. I guess 100%.
And what do you plan on doing?
Well, I'd like to go to University of Virginia as my top choice for college, but I want to study economics and go into business after college.
You gonna take over your grandfather's business?
No, ma'am. I don't think so. It's my mom's her dad. So he already has. He's passing to his son, who's gonna pass it to his.
Oh, okay.
So
okay.
I'd have to step in on your own path. Yes, ma'am.
All right.
Do they still go to missions and everything?
Mm-hmm.
Okay. I know Ceylon was one of the countries that a lot of the students went back then. Mm-hmm.
Now we focus quite a bit on Latin America. Okay. I've done a lot of mission trips down there.
Mm-hmm. Wow.
But we also have a medical society, which is run by one of my closest friends, Jan Jones, biology teacher. And she has built that up to include a medical mission trip. And they've gone to several Latin American countries, to South Africa, and they go with doctors and nurses and help set up little temporary clinics in some of the worst parts of those countries and
It's great work. That's wonderful.
Do they have a specific community service program when you were in school that was sort of organized or required? Because seniors have to do, what, 100 hours?
100 hours of community, community service.
Yeah, I would have liked that. Yeah.
But they didn't offer it then, did they?
But they were very active in community service because you had the Sodality, you had the, what was the?
John Birchman.
Birchman.
They probably didn't call it community service. They probably had other names for it. Or were they just
I don't think they did call it. I think that's a newer term.
Right.
But, you know, the church has always been about helping people. And so.
Yes.
His answer was not his name.
Angie.
Yes, ma'am. She's here working.
Okay, tell her I say hi, Dad.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay.
I'm just fascinated with all the support the Jesuits. Still, it was back then and now. You know, with the alumni and fundraising and everything. I mean, they do a tremendous job in support with parents and so forth and activities and raising money.
So you've kind of kept up with Jesuit from afar.
Right, he had, because he reads the stuff that comes in. Like, is it a newsletter, a booklet, or something?
Yeah.
Okay.
Magazine. But you told me that you did not, that you have never returned because you felt so isolated.
Well, I don't know. I feel that I wouldn't know anyone at this point. It's kind of like, it got late in the game. Early on, I wish I could have kept up then. It'd been much easier. Just like Arthur did. Although it was easier for him because he was there.
He was local.
Dallas, yeah.
Okay. So it was not that you felt I was so isolated, therefore I'm not going to go back. It was more, well, you know, I'm moving on with my life and I'm not living in Dallas anymore.
Right.
And
it was more of
that. There were no really close friends to stay in contact.
Even though I was encouraging him, I never got that feeling that, I guess because he was all the way here in St. Louis, you know.
Sure.
The isolation kind of left in when I got in my junior, last part of junior. I enjoyed junior and senior year. I think that was the best.
Good.
Yeah.
Good. So those were happy memories.
Yeah.
So all things considered, if you could go back in time to 53, 54, and when the nuns came up to you and said, would you be interested in this, what would you say? Would you do it all over again?
I would do it again.
You'd do it again?
Yeah, I think it's at it laid the ground, you know, foundation for his success. You know, having that good, strong education and being able to continue in Gremlin.
You don't remember the nun's name or the head that talked to you?
I don't know. You might want to see if St. Peter's Catholic School is still in existence. It was located in North Dallas. And maybe
I don't think it is.
I think they had still the church presence, but not, there's not a school.
Because he has mentioned to me that he thinks he may have been killed or something because of the neighborhood was so bad. And gangs and stuff.
And that, I was going to ask you about that because you indicated again today that you felt like Jesuits saved you from maybe a bad end or just a rough life or something.
Right.
Did any of your siblings get caught up in that negative side of life?
I did. It happened to me in the neighborhood at one point. I was attending a backyard party for a friend, and there was some four or five males came in, and I was attacked from behind, and a friend who was helping me, or who was a friend of mine, was wounded by a gun trying to help me.
Wow.
Yeah. How old were you then?
I was 13.
Okay. Now, did you stay in contact with your other friends in the neighborhood while you were going to Jesuit, and what did they think of you going to Jesuit?
They thought he was real smart.
So they didn't kind of shun you or
no.
your
no.
friends?
I think they wanted to go if they had the chance.
Yeah.
Oh.
Okay.
Because through the years, one of them drove one of these
over the road trucks.
Mm-hmm. And when he would come through here, he'd call us because we're always in the telephone book.
Okay.
Because he is from out of town. And they would sit and reminisce. And he'd talk high school and all that stuff.
Because we have had some students who have told me that their neighborhood kids give them a hard time. Mm-hmm. If they mm-hmm. are still coming from the mm-hmm. South Dallas area.
Right.
That sometimes they just, you know, their neighborhood kids don't understand. They're a little more brutal today, maybe.
Right, I think so. I think with him, I think it was more of a sense of pride for the close friends that he had.
Right.
Because it was family, wasn't it?
Yeah. There were about five real close friends.
Huh. What did your mother do at the time? What was her work?
She was a day worker. And that was another thing. You know, our parents participate. Mother, father, son things at Jesuit. You do that a lot. She would leave before I would leave from school, and she'd spend all day on the other side of town, but she was a day worker doing ironing, cleaning houses, or cleaning a house. And when she got home, she just was not in a situation where she could now go back out to Jesuit to participate. And she told me that she just wouldn't be comfortable.
So she never...
Yeah, she'd be out of place.
Did she ever go to... She never went to the school?
No.
Oh.
She never went to any activities or anything?
Mm-hmm. I can understand.
Yeah, you
can.
When you really stop to think about it.
So did you have to get yourself ready for school in the morning?
Yeah, I did. Yes. She had to leave before I did.
And your stepfather never went to the school either?
No.
Did any of the nuns that spoke with you about going to Jesuit, did they ever check on you after they...
I never had any contact
with them. Really? They
threw him out there to just push them out. But you had everything needed to do it, baby, and you did.
He did. He had the inner resources.
Yeah, you really do. You really stop and think about it. You really do.
What church did you attend?
In Dallas, St. Anthony's. That was the closest church to me.
Yeah.
I did. First of all, I attended McElhorn. I don't know, that's in Oak Cliff. I used to live in Oak Cliff for a little while.
Okay.
And I attended there, and then we moved to South Dallas, and that's where St. Anthony's.
Right.
I attended there.
So you went to St. Anthony's Church while you were at Jesuit?
Yes.
Where you worshiped.
And then I went to elementary school there.
Right.
Did Arthur go to elementary school at St. Anthony's?
I thought he did. Yeah. That's where
And then
we
he would have
close friends, but
right. So. Y'all were both at St. Anthony's. You went on to one year of high school
right.
at
St. Peter's.
St. Peter's, but he
went to Jesuit.
Skipped that by going straight on.
Yeah.
Yeah, because those were their only choices.
Yeah.
Unless it was a public school, because mm-hmm. everything else was segregated.
Yeah. Now, did Jesuit pay your tuition or?
Yeah.
Okay. So they didn't ask your family.
I paid for my lunch and transportation over there. Well, they may have done one of those two. I don't remember that, but I do know that they waived the tuition.
Uh-huh.
And it was, about $150 a year. That I don't know how much it is.
It's a little bit more.
What is
it? A tad more.
$13.5? Yeah, $13.
Oh, my God. Really?
Absolutely.
It's
whoa.
But it's the cheapest one
the
in
cheapest
town.
Private school in Dallas.
Phoenix after the diocese.
Really?
It's the best deal.
Wow.
Wow. Yeah, because like St. Mark's is 20.
Yeah, 20, 25. Yeah. ESD's about 25 or 30.
Catholic schools. I wasn't that familiar with Jesuits, but were there other
Not
Catholic
at the time.
Schools?
Okay. There are now.
Mm-hmm. But not then.
Right. Oh, okay. Now, that was Ursuline had been established for quite some time, but that was the girls' school.
Okay.
And then, actually, that's a question I have had that I've often wondered about.
When did they?
The nuns came in the 1800s and established Ursuline. It went through a couple of name changes. But there was no there was no Catholic high school for boys until 1942, 43 year. So where did all those boys go? That's what I want to know. Where were they in school? I don't know. Just all in public school or what? I don't know.
Yeah.
Of course, as I understand it from the archives reading that I've done up there at school, the first 5-7 years worth of students were really pretty much... a lot of these parents truly sent their kids to Jesuit to try to get the priest to straighten them out.
Oh, they were okay.
And there was lots of hand wringing every now and then, you know. We got these delinquent kids again, and we got to get rid of them. Okay, we got another carjacking group here, and I mean it's amazing. I mean I've got some letters back there from guys who were in prison and writing back to the priests, and
just like today.
Reform school.
But you know, it was a hard time.
Yeah.
Back in the early 40s and World War II, and a lot of those boys had dropped out of school to go to the war, and those first years or so were not an easy time. I talked to one guy who graduated in 44, and I was trying to get him to tell me, you know, tell me about life at Jesuit at that time. And he said, you know, really, I went to school, and he said, and then we all worked. And nobody had a car, so it's either public transportation or we had to walk. And he said, when I got out of school, I walked to the Dr. Pepper plant. My job was to, you know how the caps used to have that wax ring to them? His job was to melt that wax ring so that those caps could be reused.
Those were the days.
Kind of reform school at first.
Yeah. What other things are you going to do in terms of writing history back then?
Of this?
What else do you have to do?
Oh, for this series?
We started out.
This was his project, right?
Yeah.
Oh, okay. We started out exploring the whole United States and their view on the segregation laws and everything during that time. And then we moved down just to Dallas in general and what the city was doing about segregation.
Okay.
And right now we're going into Jesuit in the first.
Wow. Have you been enlightened?
Yes.
It's amazing, isn't it? Yeah.
When did public schools...
In Dallas, public schools?
When did they integrate?
In the early 60s, they started integrating. But they started with elementary schools and worked up, so they weren't fully integrated.
That's how far ahead you were.
Because I went to college in 60.
Yeah.
And they started where I was, Harris Teachers College, I think in 58, when blacks started going there, because there was a separate entity, Stowe Teachers College, where the black teacher training took place. And then they kind of merged. And when I went, and I came from an all-black high school, so I didn't have personal contact with whites until I went to college. And we had a problem in gym class one day. We had to do handstands, tripods or something on the mat. And you know, African Americans, we have oil in our hair, you know. And this girl didn't want it. She said she thought she was going to get a disease It was crazy.
What?
I mean, she didn't want to do the mats, and but she always showered.
Yeah, yeah.
And we did not shower because we didn't want our hair to get wet, because when our hair gets wet, it swells up and gets all crazy looking. So she was showering. We went into her locker and we took all her clothes and balled them up and threw them over there. And I'll never forget it. And now when we talk about it, we feel very remorseful.
Yeah, it seems like it.
We can tell.
But at the time, we were angry. You
sure,
know what?
You
know, we were just angry. But now you look back, you know, should not have done that. But we did.
But you're glad you did.
Yeah, we did. So it's a different time now.
Well, and that's what I always tell.
And it's wonderful that you're going this route.
Yes.
Because, you know, we need more young people to realize that, you know. I'm impressed.
I'm sad to hear that there were no. I was hoping that there would be more black students following what I did or Arthur, and influx, and for whatever reason I don't know. But I'm sad that that was one of the things that I thought about, that being a pioneer, that there would be more and more black students at the time. But evidently it fizzled for a while.
Well, we're not quite sure yet. We have to kind of go searching
some more, find
through
out.
The yearbooks, and because no one has that data.
Yeah.
Wow.
But it's not like there was a big surge.
Right.
Right. Yeah.
Right. Wow.
Yeah. So. But when we find that out, we'll let you.
Yeah.
We'll let you.
But
know.
If they applied. Do they have scholarships available for students who are not able to?
Yeah,
absolutely.
Foot the bill.
Okay.
We have, I believe, it's 40 or 50% of the kids that go there on some form of financial aid.
Okay.
On some form of work grant.
Okay. Or, yeah, I don't know how much money over $1 million we
give.
Tuition.
Okay. Ideally, someday we'd be fully endowed, where no one would have to pay tuition.
Right.
But that. Well, we've come a long way since I've been working there.
Also, I can imagine that's fascinating for you to do the archival and, you know, background stuff.
It is.
Yeah.
You know, it's. I've given my life basically to Jesuit. Came when I was 24. 58.
Wow.
And I have grown up at Jesuit to a large degree. But there's so much about it I didn't know until I started
the archival.
Doing the archives.
Yeah. Yeah. I'm glad the story is out too. Yeah.
And there's still a lot to be discovered back there. I have not been through every piece of paper back there. It's just. There was so much just kind of tossed in. And so I found myself the first year just trying to figure out what was there. And, okay, now what do I do about it? And I recognized right off that we had to bring some kind of organization to it.
Right, right.
And it took me a while to figure out an organizational method where somebody could walk in and find what they needed.
Now, are you able to scan, like, old documents and pictures to...
Not yet.
Okay.
Because it's taken me a long time
to organize. Okay. Yeah. Okay, I'm just wondering.
But any time I need something, we'll scan it.
Okay.
At the time.
Right.
And then preserving.
Right,
I spent a lot of time actually preserving the items.
Right.
Things, I kept about 3 pages from an 80-era scrapbook. We lost virtually all the 1980 scrapbooks in a flood.
Wow.
And, of the room that they were stored in before my time. But I kept those pages to say this is why we need an archives.
Okay.
Because
was there
an article
in the newspaper when he went, but what his name was?
Yes, we'll send, not his name in it, but we'll send
right,
you those
but there was an article, because
yes.
I think his mother had mentioned that. But I don't know if she kept it or had it or what.
Okay, if you don't have those, we'll...
No, we don't.
Yeah.
We'll copy for you. The priest tried to keep it quiet.
Right.
And it's like you said, you were told to keep it quiet, keep it a secret.
I don't think that they wanted...
they didn't want the press to know, there's a couple
They didn't want a big hullabaloo about it. And so somehow, as those things are wont to be, I mean, this was a really big deal.
Mm-hmm.
Somebody the news got out, and they tried to contain it in the media, but the Morning News and the Times Herald, the two papers at the time, each printed just a very small article.
Actually, I think I have the article.
Oh, you do? Okay.
I'm sure you're getting an A in this project, aren't you?
Well, it's not really for a grade.
He actually doesn't even get a grade.
Oh, you don't get a grade.
No. It's just a part of the newspaper.
He's learning what it's like to work for personal satisfaction.
Right. This is wonderful. I'm really
he
impressed.
He did get a little extra credit from his English teacher.
Okay.
Ah. But truly, I mean, these are two hardworking guys.
This is wonderful.
Yeah, because we don't have a class.
Yeah. Okay.
Yeah, there's no newspaper class.
Okay.
So, yeah, the series is going to end up, gosh, close to 8,000 words, I think. Because the first two pieces are over around 1,500 words, I think.
Wow. Yeah.
So
now the second one is over 2,000.
Oh, it is?
Yeah.
Wow. So, yeah, it's...
Oh, okay. Now, how long have you been doing this? How long have you been on your journey?
Since the beginning of the school year.
Wow.
Kind of end of summer.
Okay.
Yeah.
Oh, how nice.
Yeah, just trying to fight archivists, not Cheryl, but other ones at SMU, and the diocese has been sort of stonewalling us. We're trying to get a look at the bishop's correspondence from that spring.
Wow.
Because we're trying to figure out that question, you know, how did the bishop come up with Arthur Allen's name?
Right, right.
And so there's got to be some correspondence or some record.
Isn't that it?
Perhaps. Right? Yeah, there's the first one.
This one is the pastor or something.
But that's okay. We can
What's that?
That's something else.
Oh. Mm-hmm.
So you're thinking there's a paper trail, but that's not letting you
get to it.
Do
they have it online? The newspaper will have that article online?
It will be. It's not published yet.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Because we wanted to include more of your...
No, I'm not talking about Jesuit newspaper. I'm talking about the Dallas Morning News.
All of that I'm holding off because I don't want to put that on before Peyton publishes his article. Just having it on the archives to me is not as important as
what he's doing, right?
So,
I think what you were asking, if we went into the archives from the original.
No, it will be eventually on the archives.
Okay.
I just haven't put it there yet because I'm waiting for Peyton to publish first.
No, but we can send it to you.
If I wanted to find an article back so many years, could I online the Dallas Times Herald?
The Times Herald is not online. You have to actually go downtown public library.
Okay.
The Morning News is online, but you have to pay to get the article, which may be worth it.
Okay.
But we will, if we can't find, we will send you that information.
Okay, thank you.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Actually, my friends knew about it before I did. They said they had heard flashed two Negroes who were in it.
Really?
They were joking about it, but they knew about it before. Well, I knew about it.
You knew it was going to happen.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. But I didn't know.
So they had read it in the paper.
Did they read it in the paper, or did they hear it somewhere else?
It may have been on the radio. I thought that they thought it was the same day that it came out of the newspaper.
Did somebody parable a radio broadcast flash? We have two Negroes, so-and-so. Who was that did that?
Stanley. Curtis,
his brother.
One of my close friends.
You know, jokingly, we have, ladies and gentlemen, we have a flash. We have two Negroes, so-and-so. Yeah.
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 Well, now, were there black radio stations back then?
I don't know. I wasn't in Dallas.
Peyton, do you know?
Black radio stations? I don't know if there were
black newspapers, because I used to sell them, but I don't remember my radio station.
Yeah. Reason I'm asking is because some of your friends heard about this in the news before you knew it was coming out of the news. Did they get it from the print, or
they got
heard
it from the print, and they were mirror jokingly saying that here's a news flash
Right.
via radio.
Well, I have the letters.
Go to the restroom.
Yeah. Okay.
It's out around the coffee shop.
Out around?
Yeah.
What time is your flight?
Our flight is at 5:45.
Oh, okay.
Letters from the president of Jesuit about the decisions that were being made.
You want to read those? We'll get you copies of all
okay.
Them.
Okay. Did you make them? That's 1955.
Yeah.
Wow.
It says how they didn't want any publicity to be made about.
So they actually missaid that, okay. Mm-hmm.
And I was going to ask about the opposition to this. Were there parents who stated that they didn't want their kids to go to Jesuit because of it?
Yeah, that was the reason they published it in the news, because the news didn't find out until a mother called one of the news stations complaining that I think one of the, either you or Arthur Allen, were there, and they didn't want that to happen, so they were complaining. And,
wow.
That's what made the newspapers publish the articles.
But no one pulled their kids out of school because
One family did.
And, well, Mr. Eifert told me that two families did, but one came back.
Yeah, actually there were two that withdrew, but one came back.
Look what he said. To guard against some possible criticism if the board could not keep up with the studies, we determined to seek out another Negro student who was talented. We found such a talented boy.
Oh, that's my name in there.
Edmund, who had already finished first year high. He was a poor parent, so we gave him a scholarship. Oh, thanks. Look at you. This was in 1955, September. Wow.
Like I said, I didn't know the selection process.
Right.
I thought that maybe other students from St. Peter's would have been interviewed.
That's amazing.
And then that would have been a selection process. But,
Charles, if that, we'll send those to you.
Yeah.
Okay. We'll send you everything.
Yeah.
That way we'll make sure you get it all. We'll put it all together for you. We should have done that already. I don't know.
No problem.
That may have happened. Maybe they did interview some other families and then chose you from that group. Or it could have been that they talked to the school personnel and said, who's your best bet? Mm-hmm. And it was you. So that's the part we don't know.
You don't know.
That's the missing.
Right. That would be wonderful if you could find that out.
And there's no way, I don't think, to do that. Because the people who would have been involved in that decision have died.
Yeah, died. Wow.
Unless there's correspondence
unless there's
At the diocese.
That we're trying to break into.
And when I called you originally several years ago, I mean, that's what I was concerned about, that this was there was so much of this story needed to be told, and yet so many people were already gone that were involved in the story.
I see that now.
And so that's when I felt like I need to talk to you and find out who you were. Because like I said, I'd never heard your name in the years that I've worked there.
Isn't that something? Wow.
But, you know, I was teaching English and there wasn't any real reason to, I guess.
Right.
That's going to change.
Yeah, that's going to change. Everyone's going to know Charles. We get over 4,000 hits on our newspaper a month.
Really?
Yeah, so it's
good. Wow. Well, you're going to be out there.
She has a website for your newspaper? Yeah.
I'll send it to
you.
Okay. Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And you don't have any other pictures of yourself at that age?
Do you have any documents from Jesuit at all in the attic?
Mm-mm. The only thing you had the diploma. Other than that,
the high school diploma. I have.
Yeah.
That's about it.
The only paper document.
If you ever decide you'd like to donate that back to the school, I'm going to be craving enough to ask you to do that.
Okay. And we could probably make a copy of it. and give you the original document.
That would work as well.
Because we just would have it, you know, in a binder.
Because I would eventually like, once the stories come out, I want to put together a permanent display.
Okay.
A permanent kind of museum type
wall.
Okay. That talks about Jesuit
and
growing integration.
Well, I can send that to you.
And when I've done some things like that already with other stuff, and so I'd like to use a combination of the stories of the time, some words from the people, some artifacts.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. I have things permanently displayed and special museum quality,
okay,
acrylic boxes, and so
okay,
I've started that just 3 years ago.
Okay.
It's an expensive process, as you can imagine.
I can imagine.
Can just do like one major display at a time.
Okay.
And my displays I create based on what I know is back there in the archives.
Okay.
But I think, you know, we have enough now that we're gathering.
What other things that the archives working on besides myself and Arthur? What other things do you?
I'm putting together a history of the spirit groups at the school, like Lone Rangers. For you guys, at your time period, it was you had a cheerleader group, a small cheerleader group.
Oh, okay.
And I've already put together a research of the cheerleaders and the spirit groups, but I haven't started gathering the rest of the artifacts for that. But there was always a problem with school spirit. That's a recurring issue in some of the old school newspapers. And so they would always try to get other groups to pump up school spirit during the games and things of that sort. So I'm getting some pictures together for that. And I have put together the first 20 years of football at Jesuit.
Okay.
I'm working on the first 20 years of baseball.
Okay.
So it's just slowly.
Right. Okay.
Putting that all together.
Wow. Well, we'll have to make a trip, Charles.
Yes.
Now,
if you go to
Jesuit's homepage.
Okay.
And you said you've been on that before.
Yeah, we have.
In the welcome section, and also at the alumni
mm-hmm.
link, there is a link to the Jesuit archives.
Yeah.
And so what I have on there,
okay,
you can see now.
Okay.
But I just don't have any integration
okay.
information. I've been holding that until,
okay,
you know, I knew I was going to do it. That's why I called you again this last spring. And then Michael and I decided, let's do this for the newspaper.
Okay.
So I decided to hold off until the newspaper makes
okay.
the big
okay.
splash.
Okay. Wow.
And then
everything will be set up.
Yeah, everything.
Okay. Yeah. Wow.
Did we get enough pictures? We need a group picture.
Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Absolutely.
You have to get somebody else to take that.
Yeah. No, you have to be in the group, too.
We can probably get somebody.
Yeah.
Here's the same woman.
Yes. Excuse me. Could you take a picture of our group?
So we probably ought to go. It's just going to be.
Are we sitting?
Yeah, we'll stand
right there. Oh, we're going to go at the fireplace.
Okay, wait a minute. Put some lipstick on it. You need lipstick? Does anybody need lipstick on it?
Sure, if you need lipstick, I probably do. If you're asking me, I probably do. We need lipstick.
I just have to say it.
That's right. Here's my lipstick.
Okay.
Center.
That's right.
The important stuff got done.
The important stuff.
We don't want to publish. Right, you know, without paper lipstick. Without lipstick.
Without lipstick.
So you guys have how many children?
Two.
Two. Both girls?
No, I have a son. Okay. He's sports director at Alcorn State University.
He's sports director?
Sports director.
Oh, okay.
And my daughter is an event manager here.
You're right.
Yeah.
And now Alcorn State, is that in Atlanta?
No, that's in Mississippi.
Oh, that's
Lorman, Mississippi. Yeah.
And they went to high school
here.
Here, okay.
My daughter, matter of fact, went 3 years. Was it 3 years? With her dad to his high school.
Oh. Okay.
I had to take her out of our school in my municipality. They were very materialistic. They were all into designer clothes and bags and pretty stuff. So she went every day with her dad to school. And she loved it. Mm-hmm. She got into a fight, though, one day, her first year. And her first week, and I told her it was going to happen. I said, when they find out you're Mr. Edmund's daughter, somebody's going to pick on you. Mm-hmm. And they did. He had to come and call for an administrator. And there was his daughter. But it worked out really well. She ran track, and she loved it. And my son went to the high school. My son is 7 feet. And if you saw my son.
Seven?
He's 7 feet.
Really? 7 feet?
He wears an 18 shoe. Oh, his inseam. Wow. See, I shot for him still. His inseam is 41. And his pants. And most of his stuff, his suits and stuff, they have to be custom made because you can't buy anything off the rack.
Yeah.
But he's very, very, he's smart at what he does. He could not play a sport because he had a brain injury. He had a cyst in his brain when he was born, and it was taken out when he was 10 months. And it was advised that he not have head injuries. So he talked to himself. I thought something was wrong with him, and he was doing games in his head. He was making up sports games. And my sister gave him a tape recorder when he was about 11, and he would run up and down the sidelines of his cousins' football games, taping their game, doing their games.
Did he really?
Mm-hmm. And he would get off the bus, and I was like, oh my God, something. I didn't know at that time. I could hear him back in his room talking. During games.
See, that's just like my, I got three little boys.
Okay.
And one of them's a huge athlete. And it's just like he does, except he plays the games where he's the athlete playing the game.
Okay. And
your son is playing the game doing what he enjoys.
And he interned at, his senior year, he came home and he interned at KMOX with Jack Buck's son, Joe Buck. And I told him, I said, well, baby, we have to be realistic. Because he really wanted to work for that station, you know, with Jack Buck and Joe Buck and all that. But it did not work out. But he's doing, he's been on his job. He's, as of June 8th this past year, he said, Mother, I have 20 years in. I can retire in 5. He graduated in 91 in May, and he started work June 91. So he's been there for 20 years. He loves it.
Well, how tall are you, Mr. Edmund?
6'4".
Okay, 6'4". Oh.
And my grandparents, my grandfather's tall, my mother's tall.
Tall, yeah. And my daughter's 6 feet.
Wow.
Wow.
Mm-hmm. She's real tall and beautiful.
God, you got a basketball team here.
Mm-hmm. She ran track. Yeah.
Oh, yeah.
Wow. We have no grandchildren. Neither one of them are married yet. My son is bringing home a lady on the 21st, so we're looking, we're seeing what's going to happen with that. That's all we can do.
Keeping your fingers crossed.
So you have not met her at all?
No, okay. No. My daughter has talked to her. He what do you call it when you send pictures? Well, on the telephone stuff.
Text.
Yeah, he had a picture of her on his phone.
Oh.
And he emailed it to my daughter.
Oh, you know, did she approve?
Yeah. Yeah, so we'll see. We'll see. Yeah, it should be fine. And my his grandmother, they talk a lot. She says, well, Ruth Marie, I think you're going to have you some grandbabies soon. I said, the mother, just shut up. We'll have to just... we'll see.
Yeah, my daughter and son-in-law stole my grandkids a couple months ago.
They moved them away. And I tell them, I said, we would be such great grandparents. And I don't pressure them. I really don't. But you know, every time we go someplace and we vacation, we say, wouldn't it be wonderful? We could take the kids. And it's just the two of us just sitting there, like bumps on logs, you know, because he likes beaches and water and. But we don't have anybody to do that with yet. But the kid, surprisingly, you know, is it 2 years now that the kids have gone on road trips with us?
3 years.
For 3 years, these kids have gone on road, have come home. My son has come home, made all the reservations. He gets upset because he used to do all the driving. He made all the plans when they were little. And all we would do, count Volkswagens. And along the highway,
right,
and sing songs, you know, to try to keep the kids happy. Sure. And then he would get wherever we're going, and he would scout the place out, and we'd know where to go for dinner and all this stuff. But then when they got grown 3 years ago, they started making the plans. And then last year, they do all the driving. He doesn't like it. He sits in the front, and he's always like this. Looking to see how fast they're going. You know, I could care less. I'm so happy I don't have to do this anymore. And by her being in the hotel business, she gets real nice rates and real nice places for us to stay. And this summer we went to New Orleans. And next summer we're supposed to meet, according to him, we're to meet her side of the family. And then we're going to... Mobile, Alabama, and then we're going to Pensacola. And I assume that she's going to be joining us. I'm assuming. I don't know, you know, what they say about assumptions. We'll have to just wait and see. But
if he's expecting you to be meeting her family in 6 or 8 months, then yeah.
So I guess so. So, you know, the whole family takes on a different dynamic when they get older. And see what you said, they took your grandkids away. So I don't have that, so we just got these two kids still trying to. But it's nice when you get grown and everybody likes each other.
Yeah, sure.
You know, absolutely. Seriously, because in some families, it's horrible.
Sure, absolutely.
I'm serious. I'm glad I wish they would just leave us alone sometimes. But I think they think we need help, but we don't. And I tell her, my daughter especially, well, mother, are you going to wear that? Yes, I am. I'm going to put this on and wear it. I dressed myself long before you were born. You know, so what do we say? And you know what I'm talking about, don't you?
I do exactly know what you're talking about, especially with girls, because I've got two girls.
And I tell them, I say, I've gotten old enough, I don't even care if I want to wear my tennis shoes on my ears.
Yes.
Hey, you know, leave
it alone. Right. And there is something to be said about giving a hoot.
I'm serious, yeah. Oh, no, yes, I am. Watch.
That's great. Well, Charles, you keep checking your notes. What kind of notes did you make?
No, I had jotted down.
He jotted stuff.
Oh, okay.
Did
you get everything?
Did you tell us everything in the notes?
I think I got it. That's why I was perusing. Do they have the system that used to be that in the English class we could gain points on grades by going to the library, reading a book, and then they would have a thing about 10 questions just to see if you read the book thoroughly. And
they don't do that anymore.
They don't
barely have a library.
Oh, that's right.
Oh, yeah, we don't have a library.
That's right, we were talking about it. Our books are going to become obsolete.
That's right,
yeah. Because I asked him, did we think we needed to update like a Kindle or something, because he loves reading and books and stuff. And you know, you
prefer to read and go online.
Sure, right. Same way. And
yeah,
I keep,
prefer to read the hard copy.
Yeah, he like the hard copy too. Yeah, I do too.
Yeah.
But it's going to become obsolete. You know, in Joplin, Missouri, where they had the big
tornado
here, all of the kids were given these whatever
iPads.
Yeah, no textbooks or anything. Mm-hmm. Everything is gonna be done there.
Yeah.
And as an educator, you just wonder.
Well, it's probably cheaper to have done than to try
because
to replace all the textbooks
and stuff. Yeah.
Yeah.
Well, we have grandkids rather than them writing the Santa.
Email Santa.
Email Santa
or text him or
whatever.
Yeah, text Santa. And you know what, that's kind of sad, because one of the things that I still decorate with are two letters that my girls wrote to Santa. I put them in the stand-up acrylic frames.
Mm-hmm.
And I'll put them out because they're so adorable.
Isn't that something?
And they won't have, you know, kids today won't have that.
If you
text Santa or email him what you want, the parent doesn't have that old crumpled letter, you know, 20 years later.
Right. And I had a friend of mine who worked at the post office, and they profiled her a while back because she was the one that got all the letters from Santa, and the postal workers would adopt kids and try to make their wishes come true. And I think they cut that part out at the post office because the post office is having difficulty.
That's right. Yeah. They can't.
You know,
it's
sad. So I don't know what's going to happen. But this technology is going to take us into a different realm. I'm hoping I'll be able to, if these grandchildren come forth, I'll be able to handle them, because I don't know. It's just something.
Yeah.
Yeah, I just keep thinking we're putting everything online. One little blow up on the grid, and then we have nothing.
And it's gone.
You know, I like writing little notes and stuff.
Well, it's like we were talking about looking at those old documents that have that gorgeous flowing handwriting.
All on the borders and all up the sides. They just, every part of the page was written on.
One of our colleagues bought an old farm in Virginia, and he found up in the attic years ago this box of letters that the man who lived there wrote to whomever. And it gives just this really interesting chronicle of life on that farm
during that time. Right.
I keep trying to tell him he needs to start preserving those things. And I, you know, showed him where he can buy preservation materials, but he hasn't done it yet.
Okay.
So, but you know, that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
Send an email, delete it,
move on.
Yeah, I lived in Japan for a year after I graduated doing volunteer work, and I still have, I must have 300 letters, because I wrote a letter almost every day for a year.
Okay.
And that was before internet. And I would hate to not have those.
Right. Yeah.
Or just to have been there with the ease of the internet, and you know, where we would save up to make one phone call a month home back to the States. And
well, and as much as I believe in this online newspaper, there's a part of me that wonders, how do we preserve this for the next 50 years?
Because
you know, I have in the archives old copies of the roundups, but so what are we going to do? 50, 60 years from now.
Right.
How are we going to preserve that? We need to somehow start burning that to DVD, CD, something.
The young people, and I always tell the young people in my family, if you all can come up with the next technology breakthrough, like the Facebook, who would have thought that we would be using these cell phones and stuff? I remember when my daughter was like 15, 16, got her first job, she wanted a pager. And I told her only doctors and drug dealers had pagers.
Yeah, that's what my dad says. Doctors and drug dealers.
Only doctors and drug dealers had pagers. I'm sorry, you get a pager. She got whatever. She got her first job. She bought her a pager. And you know what, how they look, and now they got these little phones. And my mother is 90. She lives by herself now. And I'm and we had to introduce her to cordless phones. Mm-hmm. She has a landline, but she needed a cordless phone in the other rooms. Mm-hmm. She went with me one morning. Cordless phone, and I'm showing her how to use it. Well, what if I don't want to talk? What if somebody calls and I don't want to talk? Well, don't answer. So I called my sister. I said, call mother. Phone rings, and mother's looking at it. Mother, what do you do? She's, look, she said, Esther. I said, baby, that's your other daughter. Answer the phone. G is for go. It's for, I mean, green is for go. Pick it up and talk. The red is for stop talking and just hang the phone up. You say goodbye. When I stop talking, what do I do? Say goodbye and just... So she looks at... He was sitting down there. So she goes. She hits it. Put it up to your ear, mother. Say hello. It was like...
She's like she never had her phone before.
I think she was so used to the other phone.
Sure.
You talk on and then you hang
right,
up. Or you,
right, right.
It took her, how long did I deal with her? About 4 days.
She couldn't,
I'm serious.
She couldn't find the base.
It was crazy. It was just crazy. And one morning, he went with me, and we did the tutorial again. And I had to say to her, I said, Mother, now I'm going to tell you, you're doing really, really good. Because I remember when we first got computers, and I thought I was going to, if you touch something, you're going to break them. So this is how, probably how she felt about this, mm-hmm, this phone.
So she doesn't have a cell phone.
Oh, God. No. So she has the base in the bedroom where she sleeps. The other one stays in between the dining room and the living room. And when she leaves the bedroom, she comes and just takes the one from the dining room, bedroom, dining room, living room, into the kitchen where she spends a lot of her time. And then when she goes back, she puts, so she does it. But it took, oh my God. But I told her, I said, baby, you have come into the 21st century. You are into technology. So I don't know what's going to happen. So if you could come up with the next breakthrough.
Oh yeah.
You wouldn't have to work another day in your life.
One or 2 weeks ago, Time Magazine's cover story was the greatest inventions, recent inventions.
Mm-hmm.
Man, I was reading about stuff I didn't know existed.
Isn't that something?
They're making clothing out of milk.
Oh my God.
Clothing out of
blew
milk.
Blew me away. Something about you, when the milk becomes rancid, somehow they extract these fibers out of it and then spin it into fabric.
My God.
I was just, how do they do that? Do what?
Deodorizer.
There is that, right? And just all kinds
of stuff. It's amazing,
yeah,
though. Oh my God.
And another interesting angle of that is they talked about the fact that actually the person who has the idea, usually nobody knows who that is.
Okay.
It's the person who markets it.
Right.
Who really knows how to put the spin on it and make it better. And they were using Steve Jobs as an example.
Right.
And he did not invent the tablet computer. He did not invent the smartphone. But he made it so much better and was able then to market it that we only think of
Steve Jobs. Yeah. And what was the little man that did the Apple computer with him? The little, the little Segway.
What's that guy?
He has a strange last name.
Yeah. Like,
did he buy him out or did he just walk away from the project or what? Because they were in it together.
Yeah. Initially. Does it begin with
Wozniak? Something like that.
Wozniak.
Or something like that. Yeah.
Yeah, I think that's it.
Yeah, whatever happened to him?
He got paid off, I believe.
He did buy him out.
Yeah, he bought him out. Yeah.
But I bet he wishes he had stayed in there.
Yeah, I think actually he's one of the richest people in America, if I'm not mistaken.
Yeah, I'm sure he is.
Wozniak.
Okay.
Yeah.
Wow.
But
if you all can come up with the next best whatever. And we can say, oh, I put that idea in his head, sitting right up here at the Marriott.
That's right.
And I tell my nephews and all the time, I say, you all need to get together. Because who would have thought this? My goodness. But you all have to get to St. Louis, you don't you?
Yeah, what time is it?
I have no
idea.
1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
What time is it?
1 o'clock.
Oh, okay.
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah, we better.
And over there.
I really enjoy it. I have too.
Yeah, so it's great.
Thank you all so much for taking the time out.
It's been wonderful.